You're listening to the LifeSpring Church podcast. For more information about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.
Okay, so this is was the title of the conference last week, a couple of weeks ago. We Are the Light, and I just want to share some thoughts on this today. Two aspects which you'll see as we go through. In John 8, verse 12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life." That's just an amazing statement and an amazing promise. Jesus declares he is the light of the world. And following him leads to life, leads to abundant life. There may be darkness in your life. There may be hopelessness around you. But when Jesus is there, there's light, there's hope, there's purpose. Because he is the light. Matthew 4, verse 16. "The people sat in darkness who have seen a great light. For those who lived in the land where death casts its shadow, a light has shined." It was talking about Jesus. Jesus, the light of the world, had come. He'd been born, and Jesus lit up the darkness. Wherever Jesus went, there was light. And do you know that where light is, darkness has to go? That's why after he was filled with the Spirit, sickness had to go. Demons had to come out. Deception and lies were confronted and truth replaced them because light is always more powerful than darkness. Hallelujah. Later on, John reminds us, God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself wasn't the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. This is Jesus. This is our Christ, our Messiah, the one we've been singing. I so loved the worship this morning. Rob, I loved the way it was balanced out as well. The drums were nice and blah, blah, blah. But the words, more important than that, the words, the songs, the focus. And it was about him and what he's done for us in our lives. He lights the way to salvation. His light exposes sin and darkness. That's why when Hannah told me, she didn't say to you so much, but if you are prepared to open up and the light of God shines in you, change can take place. Because you begin to realize there's stuff here which is dimming the light, it's darkness. But when his light comes, darkness has to go. His light deals with shame. I felt that was a bit of a rhema today. Shame needs to be dealt with. As we were praying or singing earlier on, some of those songs, I nearly shared the testimony, but I'll do it now actually. I was worshiping the Lord maybe 3-4 months ago in my front room, and I was listening to that song, "There's No Condemnation." It's the Rend Collective song, "Boldly We Approach the Throne." And it was just like a light shone in my mind again. I mean, I love the grace of God. And we've taught the grace of God for 20 years or so. You know, a revelation came about the grace of God. But as I was sitting there, I was just for some reason aware of stuff that wasn't right in my life. Maybe we'd spoken to Jackie, or maybe something I'd read or seen which was inappropriate, or anger or words. I was just aware of stuff, and my head was totally aware that actually I'm totally righteous because of what Jesus has done. But as I was mulling over this stuff, I felt God say, "Why are you even, don't you realize even the stain has gone? You know, that anger, that temptation that you slipped up into, that attitude you had, I haven't even remembered it. It's totally gone, totally clean. No shame. Don't feel you're a victim. Don't feel that you can't get the victory, because you are totally clean. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it was just like fresh revelation came into my heart. There's no condemnation. Boldly, boldly I come. That was yesterday. His blood has washed me clean today. Hallelujah. That's the grace of God. And if you're saved, that is for you as well as for me and for everybody else. That's grace. You don't even have to think about that program you shouldn't have watched or that argument which was just, you don't even have to, it's gone. He's dealt with it. It's gone. It's gone. I don't know if you're hearing me. There's no shame. His light exposes the darkness. We get it out of our lives and we're filled with his righteousness. Hallelujah. But then we go on. Jesus makes an even more amazing statement. He says to his disciples, "You are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." Isn't that amazing? You are the light of the world. You are your light, his light, in that office. You are his light at school. You are his light at home. That's God's plan. That's God's purpose. His life and light is to shine through you. Incredible. It's an incredible treasure. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Can someone say amen? Yeah. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's why we are the light of the world. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He comes to live in me. He comes to live in us. And Jesus says, let people see. He's not even here saying, tell them. Let people see. Let people see how you live. Too often the church shies away. But Jesus says, we're the light of the world. We're a city on a hill. So let it shine. Don't cover it up. Don't hide it. Don't be embarrassed or ashamed of Jesus or the gospel or this new life which we're experiencing. People in the world may try to make you feel embarrassed. They may try to make you feel you can't really believe. But those who've believed, those who've received the light, we know the light is more powerful than darkness. And we do have something to shout about. The light of Jesus is what people will see. They'll see your good works. They're important. They will see your acts of kindness. I was in a coffee queue the other day with a pastor friend of mine and one or two other people in the queue. And he just said to the person behind, let me buy your coffee. Let me pay for it. She didn't want to accept it, but she did in the end. He was able to buy her a coffee and a cake. Acts of kindness. Why did you do that? He didn't even say the gospel. He didn't really say anything. Act of kindness. She'll remember that. That guy bought me a cake, didn't even know who he was. Dispensers of grace in our workplaces. Dispensers of grace, of mercy, of life, of love. Somebody, you're often in situations, maybe somebody's fallen out with the rest and this, that, and the other, but they've not fallen out with us. No, we still love. We're not going to take offense and just join the crowd in being mean or separate. No, we're going to dispense grace. We're going to show love, mercy, and grace, whoever and whatever. Non-judgmental attitudes. That's the church. That should be us. Yes? Amen. This is light. This is the light shining. Already the church in Reading is a shining light. We're feeding the hungry. We're caring for the poor. We're providing beds for the homeless through the winter. We're supporting those who've lost children through the adoption programs. Helping those worse for wear over the weekend. Somebody wanted to be a street pastor. I said, no. You find something else to do because we don't judge these people. Some of them are just stupid and they go out to get drunk. And we're still there to help them and to clear up the sick and to get them in a car on the way home. It's grace. It's a light shining in darkness. It's great. Providing families for children who don't have them. The council doesn't have the answers. So do you know what? It actually turned to the church. to ask for help. There's another story. But they came to the church first. They're running out of money. But the church is the light of the world. Amen again. Amen. We've got answers for Reading. You see, light is always more powerful than darkness. Paul tells us, for you once were darkness, but now you are light. Live as children of the light. Did you notice that? It wasn't like you were just in darkness. You were darkness. Once you were darkness, but now you are light. Once we weren't a people, now we're the people of God. Once we were in the kingdom of darkness, now we're in the kingdom of light. Once we were, the old has gone and the new has come. This is what God has done for us. And just because we don't always feel it or see it in every expression of our lives doesn't mean to say it's not true. We just need to believe. We are the light of the world. And God's called us to shine in darkness. We have a responsibility, though. And Pastor Caesar reminds us, if we want to live in victory, we need to deal and remove sin and darkness from our lives. Your character, your family, your ministry. And as I was thinking about that, it's like sin and compromise, they dim that light. You know those dimmer switches? It's meant to be turned on full. But when we just allow stuff to come in and we're not dealing with it, or even if we're living in shame and poverty, it just dims that light. Or if there's sin stuff or bad habits that we're just not dealing with, it just turns it down. But Jesus wants us to shine. And if we come to him, his light will deal with that darkness. His light can overcome sin because there's power in the gospel. A good testimony is powerful. I've noticed you don't swear. That's right. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I notice you don't get drunk with the boys on Friday night. That's right. I'm a disciple of Jesus. Why don't you sleep with your girlfriend? You've been going out with her for 6 months. I'm a disciple of Jesus. You never say bad things about people. No, I try not to. I'm a disciple of Jesus. You're very respectful of the boss. Yeah, I try to be. I'm a disciple of Jesus. You see, it affects every area of our lives. You can say whatever you like. You can tell people to repent and this, that, and the other. But unless you're living the life, it's just a clash. They're not impressed. They're not impressed. But when we live the life, yeah, let's give him applause. Yes, amen. When we live the life, it gives us authority and power to share the words of why we're following Jesus. And it's not always the easiest course of action to take, but it's because we're disciples of him, we want to live for him. You're the letter people read, not your words. And then your light shines in darkness. We were going to make a declaration. We'll do that some other time. I want to talk about something else. Paul prays that our hearts will be flooded with light so that you may know the hope to which he's called you. Did you hear that? Paul prays our hearts are flooded with light. In other words, there's a transaction that needs to take place. Light from heaven needs to shine into our hearts and minds so that we may know what he's called us to, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people and his incomparably great power for us who believe. His light needs to flood our hearts. That's supernatural. Being born again is supernatural. His light flooding our hearts is supernatural. And I want to ask you, church, can you see? Has his light flooded your heart? Do you know God's call on your life? Do you even understand today what I'm talking about, that you are light? Called to be the light of the world. Called to shake nations. Called to be history changers. Called to impact Reading and beyond with the gospel. I'm asking you, be honest, can you see that? Or is there more of the light of heaven that needs to shine? Before I was, as I was preparing this talk and as we were praying this morning, my prayer was, Lord, let revelation come. Let revelation come so that we can begin to see and say amen. Can you believe that he has a purpose for you? You. Paul's prayer is that the hearts of the Ephesian church be flooded with light so they know. And I want to say, church, we need to know, you need to know. It's called revelation. It needs to come into our hearts. Are you with me? I'm not surprised if many of you are thinking, well, I don't quite understand. I don't quite see it like that yet. Lord, more. We're on a journey here. More. Called to bring the gospel to the workplace. What, me? Yeah, you. Called to bring the gospel to your school. Called to bring the gospel to your community. But you don't know what my life's like. You don't know what I've been going through. I'm just about keeping my head above water, but you're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. You don't understand. I've been suffering with this health situation, or my finances are that, or my marriage is the other. That light needs to shine in darkness. Deal with that stuff, because you are called to bring light, life, and hope into every situation that God puts you. Amen. 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 He's entrusting you to be his light. It's more than words, but they are important. They're powerful. It's your actions. Did you know he's called you to go and make disciples? Did you know that is the call of God? It's our commission. And it includes you. Not just leaders of 12. It includes you. It includes me. It's glorious. Co-workers. He's called us to continue his work, to co-work with him. It's our commission. Our homes called to be discipleship centers. That's me. But I like that. Our homes called to be discipleship centers, where we're teaching our children the ways of the Lord, where we're modeling as parents the ways of the Lord. Ourselves called to be discipleship centers, where we're doing the same thing, and where we're encouraging others to invite into the cells, to grow, to form teams of 12. This is the call of God on our lives, and it includes you. When the light shines in our hearts and we see from God's perspective, all things are possible. All things are possible. If we're just looking with our natural eyes, we'll think, I don't have the ability, I don't have this, I don't have that. But when we see from God's eyes, remember the story of Gideon? When we see from God's eyes, we can do way beyond as we receive his love and his power than what we would be able to do in ourselves. My cell can become 12. My 12 can become leaders of cells. Because it's not just knowing that call and that purpose and that plan, but Paul goes on to say, it's knowing that incomparably great power towards us who believe. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's supernatural. Supernatural. It's the Spirit of God at work in us. Next week, I'm going to be sharing a few challenges, goals for us to be embracing over the next year or so. But I was at the RCN meeting this week, as I usually go to. It's a group of pastors, 40, 50 pastors or so. And Yinka, he asked those who were there to stand, who had a burning vision in their hearts. And I thought everybody would be standing, but Jim, there's about seven or eight of us. There weren't that many, really. Six or seven of us stood up. I thought, I've got to stand. I've got a vision burning in my heart. And then he just asked people to share what the vision was. And we gathered around and we prayed. Because I believe God has called me. I believe God's called you. God's called us to really impact this town and beyond by winning souls and making disciples. I believe the cell strategy is the best because Jesus modeled it. And the New Testament church followed it too. I believe 12 disciples is the optimum number because Jesus knew what he was doing and he chose 12, and we're doing the same thing. I believe it's not just about cells and 12s, it's about impacting the nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Reading needs big churches, not churches of hundreds. You know, they think we're big. And statistically, we're on the bigger side of things. But it's irrelevant when there's 250,000 people here in Reading. Reading needs big churches, not of hundreds, but of thousands. And I believe God wants us to be one of them. But it's not just about numbers. Numbers don't change towns. Disciples do. Hundreds, thousands of passionate disciples of Jesus. Wow. Reading will be so blessed. Reading will be so blessed. They won't just be going to the other Reading, they'll be coming to this Reading to see what God is doing. MCI Bogota started with a cell group of 8 in Pastor Caesar's home. Now 200,000 or so, with thousands of cells across the city. That's God's plan, that's God's heart. Everyone pastored, everyone discipled. Why so successful? Because the light shone and they believed. The light shone. They saw the purpose of God and they believed. They believed. The light needs to remove darkness from us, shame, skepticism. His light needs to help us see. He's chosen you, Julie. He's chosen you to win souls, to make disciples, to make a difference in Reading. He's chosen you, Mr. Kim. He's chosen you, Bev, Nicole, and Sister Taylor. He's chosen Marilyn, Glynn. It doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are. He's chosen us. We just need to say, yes, Lord. I want to be a co-worker. I want to be a co-worker with you. I need to move on. Otherwise, I'll be getting a text from Kim. Right. So his light needs to help us to see. His light needs to help us to see our sons and our daughters responding to Jesus Christ. Our husband and our wife bowing the knee. We need to see, we need to imagine. Can you see that circle up there full of teens and 20s with hands in the air, worshipping, praising God? Can you see them witnessing at school and in the university? I'm giving more time to just imagining and taking time back just to imagine these things. Can you see the queues around Russell Street waiting to get into the next service here as one finishes and another's about to start? We've seen it in Bogota. Why have we seen it in Bogota? Because he wants to do it here as well. They're waiting to get in. There's not enough room. The gospel, changing lives. And as I was meditating and imagining, I could see people down Broad Street, LifeSpring, sharing the gospel, leading men and women and young people to the Lord. And do you know what? I saw them on their knees, just giving their lives to the Lord. Not like embarrassed or ashamed of what people might think, but the power of the gospel was bringing conviction and life. Hallelujah. As I was mulling on it, I could see professional people meeting in the Forbury, having Bible studies in the summer or in the pub or in their workplaces, sharing the good news about what Jesus has done in their lives. If you can't see it, you can't believe. Ask God to shine that light. You know, Abraham was given a promise. He was going to have a son. And I don't know when he was given the promise, I probably should have looked it up, but he maybe was in the prime of his life at the time. He hadn't got children, probably waited more than 7 years, as Richard was referring to, but the promise was there, you're going to have a son. And he was getting older and older and older, and there were no children coming. And he was thinking, God, you promised me a son, but it's not happening. My inheritance, my estate, is going to have to be left to my servant. Unless a son comes. This is what he says in Genesis chapter 15. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abraham in a vision and said, "Don't be afraid, Abraham, for I will protect you and your reward will be great. He was still childless. But Abram replied, O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son, since you've given me no children? Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You've given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir. Then the Lord said to him, No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir. Abraham had heard that before. It was just the promise was reconfirmed. Then the Lord took Abraham outside and said to him, Look up into the sky, count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham believed the Lord. Wow. Why did God do that? What was different? The power of seeing. The power of visualization. Abraham, you can't believe at this moment in time. Come out here, look up there. And as he looked, those stars became sons and daughters and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren. And he believed God. That's the plan. That's the purpose you have for me. Do you hear what I'm saying? While we were in Bogota, Pastor Caesar called a German pastor. He's on the front row. And he said, Emmanuel, come up onto the stage. How many are in your church, Emmanuel? 80 people. 80 people. Emmanuel, just look across this auditorium. Maybe 10, 12,000 people. He said, this is your church. The power of visualization. And then he said to Emmanuel, this, now let's, you know, use your mind, this isn't in Colombia. Now we're in Germany. Now look, 10, 12,000 people. And faith rose in that pastor's heart. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. The power of visualization. If you can do it here, you can do it there. If you can do it in Germany, you can do it in the UK. Yeah? God's plan, God's purpose. Souls. For souls being saved and disciples being formed. Hallelujah. I'm just going to close with this. I have a ring on my finger. And my ring says, dream, believe, achieve. It all starts with a dream. You have to see. You have to see. Then you can believe. And with hard work and no doubt perseverance, we will achieve. Why are we going for cells? Why are we going for 12 leaders, teams of 12? Why do we have encounters? Why equipping for destiny courses two this time? 1 and 2 and 5 and 6. It's because we have a vision. The light has shone in our hearts. Our vision is not to be a big church. That's far too small. No. Our vision is to impact Reading and the nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the calling of God on my life and on your life. I want to invite you, dream with me. Believe with me. And with his help, we're going to achieve this together for his glory. Amen. Can we stand together? Sure what song we're going to sing in a moment. They'll come up with a good one. I just believe God wants to invite you to begin to, I believe he wants his light to shine in our hearts, to understand that we are the light, but for him to show us his plan and his purpose for each one of us. I sense there's unbelief, there's a sense of, I couldn't do that. Maybe them, maybe you. But God says, no, I've got a plan for you all. And it's way beyond what you imagine or think. Some of you have settled. Some of you younger than me have settled, and I'm not settling yet. God's got a plan for you too. He's got a plan for us all. Some of you can't believe that God could use you, wants to use you. If I'm referring to you, I just want to invite you to come forward this morning, and there'll be a team, and we want to pray that God's light shines in your heart, shines in our hearts, so that together, we go forward in unity and in purpose. Some of you, I mean, when we first started church, it was Southcote Fellowship, and my vision was Southcote, state of Southcote. Wanted to live on Southcote, met on Southcote. Didn't have any vision beyond Southcote. What a small vision. Then we became Prospect Community Church, and yes, it was around Prospect Park, Southcote, Coley, around Prospect Park. That was my vision. That was all it was. Just, didn't quite know what we were doing, but just that was it. Then we said, look, we need to remove boundaries from the name, so we, LifeSpring, well, there's no, LifeSpring's everything, and it's everywhere. Because God's got a big vision. Reading, UK. Now nations of the world, we have the privilege to impact as well. And God's using little us to make a difference. And he wants to use us more if we believe. Dream, believe, achieve. Disciples came to Jesus, they said, help us increase our faith. Increase our faith. If you feel you need to have an increase of faith this morning, so you just cannot get hold of it, come forward and want to pray. One guy came to Jesus who had a sick son, and Jesus said, do you think I can do this? Can I make him better? He says, yes, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And there might be some of us this morning that say, well, I want to believe. I really want to believe. But there's a whole lot of unbelief here holding me back. Come forward. Let's break it. Let's ask his light to shine. His light to shine in darkness, eradicating any restriction, anything to hold us back, that we might be the people of God that he's called us to be. That we don't let him down. We don't let him down, because his plan and purpose is far bigger than we understand. You read Ephesians, that's what Paul tells us, far beyond what we understand. That's his plan and purpose. So if what I've shared has brought a challenge to you and you want to respond, as we're singing the song, next song, come forward for prayer. Suggest we'll pray afterwards. Stay around, we'll pray afterwards so you can hear. But we're going to bring light into your lives. I'm going to ask the light of God just to be shed abroad. So Holy Spirit, come even now. Shine your light. Shine your light. Lord, I want to ask that there'll be nobody here that's written themselves off. So you've got a plan. You've got a purpose. Shine your light. Shine your light. Some may not even have given their lives to the Lord yet. Some might not even be Christians. God's got a plan for you. It starts with making a commitment to God. It starts with wanting to leave the past and receive that new life which Jesus gave you. That's where it starts. I was street pastoring a few months ago, and somebody on the corner, he said to me, so what's your purpose in life then? We had the opportunity just to share the gospel that God's got a plan, God's got a purpose. But it starts with giving our lives to God. James may develop that a bit later, but I just want to invite you, if you know you need to change, if you're mindset needs to change, if your heart needs to change, if there's more that God needs to do, you want him to do in your life, come forward for prayer. And we want to ask that God's light touches our hearts afresh. Thanks.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.